First of all, I want to say Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? I'm with Ali, former professional fighter of how many years?
15 years.
15 years.
Because they're scared to mention, but the kids dying over there every day. Why does not mention? We talk about the Conor McGregor destroying the bus. I'm the first Muslim UFC champion in the history. He just made the history yesterday.
New champion of the world!
Everything is nothing, you know, number one, believe on your one God.
Our brother Ali Kadikov. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Greetings of peace. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, brother. You?
Good, alhamdulillah. So we just had the news that a training partner with you, Khabib
Nurmagomedov,
that you've been actually, did you grow up with, training with?
We know each other, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
So you were a professional fighter for 15, how many?
15 years of professional fighter.
Tell us a little bit about that, you know, people you've trained with and...
There's a lot of brothers, you know, in our region. We have a lot of Muslim brothers. They fought all over the world and now they all represent us in UFC, the biggest organization in the world. Well, we just got the Khabib Nurmagomedov, who became the first Muslim UFC champion in the history. He just made the history yesterday.
New undisputed UFC lightweight champion of the world, Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov!
First of all, I want to say Alhamdulillah. Without God, we cannot do nothing. Everything is nothing, you know, number one, believe on your one God.
Alhamdulillah. But yeah, I mean, start training when I was 5 years old. I was competing in wrestling, sambo, kickboxing, Muay Thai. And then, you know, my friend brought me over here and started fighting here professionally in Las Vegas, Colorado, all over, you know, in Brazil. And, you know, recently, maybe 2 years ago, I stopped fighting. I decided to stop. As we know, it's haram.
So that was your dream. I mean, you were telling me about, you know, many people don't understand the climate there. Is it Dagestan?
Dagestan, Chechnya. You know, this is like a Caucasus mountain, this area where it's little countries, but a lot of different languages, different flags. This is a country. They just republic of the Russia, because this was back in the days, it was Soviet Union. Some countries come out of the Soviet Union, became their own independent countries, and some still stay in Russia. So this part of the Russia, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of different countries like Chechnya, Ingushetia, Dagestan, Ossetia, Kabardino-Balkaria, Karachay, Cherkessia. Most of this country, probably 90%, is Muslim countries. So yeah, and there's a lot of tough people come out of. The best athletes in the world has come out of this region.
But you were telling me that usually the people who end up turning towards the fighting as an art, they don't have many choices. Explain that to me.
Yeah, because this, you know, this country, you have to know someone to get, you know, to get the job, or you have to have money to pay to get the position, you know, and this is very difficult. So there's a lot of criminals over there, or the people who became athletes to support their family. There's only way to make money. And the way they pay, like salary in Russia, an example, you can make $100 a month. Tell them what is enough to pay. Nothing. You know, for 100, like in America, what are you going to pay? Your gas? Fill up the tank? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, this is difficult. And a lot of people became fighters because you can make good living, you know, take care of your family, support your family. They don't do this because it's fun. A lot of brothers know this haram. You know, a lot of brothers, there's no other you know, they don't choose that because they have to support their family. They have a big families, you know, Muslims have a lot of families. And it's not like you just take care of your mom and dad and your brother. You take care of your cousins, You take care of your third cousins and you take care of all your neighbors. You know what I mean? So you take care of all the people. That's what they do.
Some of the other people you were telling me that you've trained with, what was that, King Mo? But he's short and I didn't know he's actually Muslim, huh?
Yeah, Muhammad Lawale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Nigeria, brother. Yeah.
How about the other, who was the other brother, Osama?
We have a couple.
Osman. So a lot of these brothers. Why is it you know a lot of these martial artists, these UFC fighters, MMA fighters, they're courageous, you know, to get in the cage and fight. But why is it sometimes, you know, they're not? It seems like they're apologetically Muslim. They're not unapologetically Muslim, especially in this time, this climate of Islamophobia, where you think, you know, now show the courage that you are, yeah, right? You're a Muslim. You're proud to be one who has submitted his or her will to the Almighty, to the Creator.
Most of the time, brother, it's like, you know, people watch the media, and when they see the bearded brother, you know, the first, what they think is a terrorist, evil man. As soon as they open their mouth and actually have a kind of conversation with the Muslims, they understand this is a basic person just like you, you know what I mean? And we do the same thing, you know, we worship the God, we take care of our family, we go to work, we come back home to our kids, you know. So when you introduce yourself to the people, they're actually open-minded, and, you know, but most of the people, they don't even meet the Muslims, they don't never talk to them. But these brothers, they like this because most of them have no knowledge about Islam at all. All they know is their grandparents was a Muslims. They have a Muslim names, and that's all about, you know, they know. But if you know about Islam, you go deeper. I was there too. Most of us was jahil back in the days. We don't know nothing. When you know more about Islam, Allah open your heart, and you proud because you're the chosen one to become Muslim. And alhamdulillah, you know, this is the greatest gift Allah can give it to the person. When they know that, they all became proud. You know, the brother Mirsad Bektik, you know, he was weak, but when he know his roots and he started going to the masjid, this was completely different person. He was became way more religious than me. I see him in every fajr over there, and all imam start telling me, he see him over there, every lecture he's over there. So subhanAllah, you know, when you get closer to Allah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. When you build this confidence, it's just like someone who comes on the mat, does wrestling, jiu-jitsu. They don't have the confidence, they don't know the techniques, right? Yeah. The more you grow in it, the more you're confident. Same thing with Islam. Yes. When the more you dwell into it, the more you gain this conviction that it's indeed from the Creator, right? And then you're proud to represent it, you know? And a Muslim is simply one, for those that haven't been tuning in, is one who submits their will to the Creator. You weren't always a Muslim. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, born in a Christian family. I actually grew up in my people was, they was worship the mountains, the trees, and the stuff like that back in the day. We have a big history, like Alanian people, Sarmadians, there's like huge history back in the days, you know, people very, very racist and proud of their, you know, bloodline and all that stuff, because this was like back in the day, this was a big warriors, and they was actually, you know, became a Christians back in the days, but we always have a Muslim, but little small community. Back in Soviet Union, they was trying to kill their religion at all. Doesn't matter what religion this was, they was trying to take the people away from religion completely. You know, make them focus, make everybody equal, everybody hear about the communism. So, but now, you know, the Islam is raising up over there, the brothers start to go into the masjid, start to learn more, a lot of people going and studying Mecca and Medina, you know, bringing, you know, a lot of young people start to be proud of who they are. But I grew up in a Christian family, very strong Christian family, and I start to have doubts because, you know, the church do one thing and the Bible talk about the different things. Like an example, Ten Commandments. The first commandment says the God only one. So I asked him, where's the Trinity come? And all this in the New Testament. Then I asked him about the second commandment, about the idols, about the drawing all these pictures. This is a sin, it's forbidden. Okay, let's go farther. The Bible says you're not allowed to eat the swine. So why they eat the pork? Where in the Bible, even in the New Testament, says you can't do that? Then there's a bunch of stuff. The woman have to cover her hair. This is in the Bible too. And what actually in the Russian church, what they do, what was confusing me, women cover their hair to go to the church. As soon as they walk out, they take the cover out. This doesn't make no sense. And a lot of stuff they do, they go and they worship the idols, they draw the pictures, they come to these pictures and say, oh, this, holy, that. But the Jesus never taught this, he never teach this, and there's no mention about this in the Bible. Where he call himself as a Christian, where he called himself is Jehovah's Witnesses or anything else. So this was my main concern. I was asked, you know, even his name wasn't Jesus. He was Yeshua, you know. And I asked a lot of people to show me original Bible if you guys have it. So I asked a lot of questions. They confused me. So this is where my journey started. I started browsing and learning a lot about Islam. And everything makes sense. It's very simple. God is one. He created us. He sent us the guidance. He tells us what to do. It's very simple and there's no confusing. There's no trinity like three in one, Father, Son, and somebody else. And there's no confusion. They're straight up and forward, clear. So I became a Muslim, alhamdulillah.
And that's exactly what connects with the person who is sincere. He's genuine. She's genuine. They're looking for the truth. Is this pure monotheism. That God, like you said, is only one. Worshipping the creator, not the creation. And this connects with the heart. You don't have to do a bunch of mental gymnastics to try to make it, you know, fit. It's clear. It makes sense. It has the evidence. And you have the Quran, tamper-free, tamper-proof, as we often say. It's a living miracle. So what was it now? How did you get exposed to Islam? And what was it now, you know, the simple message? And how long did it take you? Because there are a lot of people, I'm sure you talk to also a lot of people, but now they're scared of, like, you know, the peer pressure. What are people going to say? You follow me? Mm-hmm. All the negative hype with the media. Even fighters, people who you often think are very courageous, you know what I mean? But now when it comes to this, you know, they're like, they don't want to be associated with it. So what was it about Islam? And was it something that you found the courage right from the beginning to dwell right into?
Because, you know, when you start getting close to Allah and you live the way He told you to live, you open your heart and all the fear and everything in your heart just disappear. All you think about is to make Allah happy. And don't worry about nothing else, who think about you, whatever. Nothing matter. Only matter what Allah thinks about you and make Him happy. He signed you He sent us to guidance, the Quran, the Holy Quran. When you read it, the Quran talking to you, this is a living miracle. So much beautiful, beautiful stuff in this book. If you read it, it's just mind-blowing, you know. And subhanAllah, when you know that, when you know Allah with you, you feel it, you know, you see it in your life. You don't fear or scared or nothing. You said alhamdulillah and you represent your religion, because every person is going to judge your religion by you. They're looking at you and they judge your religion. The way you're representing yourself, the way you're walking, the way you're dressing, the way you're talking, the people are going to look and they think about the Muslims. So the Muslims acting like that on the public, this is what they think about us. When you represent your religion the way the Prophet Muhammad SAW tell us, then we show the beauty of this religion. So I encourage all the Muslims, you're Muslims, this blessing from the Allah. SubhanAllah, just think about the creator of the universe. He make you being a Muslim amongst all the people. He choose you to be in the paradise. You know what I mean? SubhanAllah, open your hearts and start learning and be proud of your religion, because this is the most beautiful thing. This doesn't matter who thinks what and who, you know, SubhanAllah. We pray 5 times a day. We eat halal food, we treat the people nice, we follow all the commandments, and they consider us as a bad people, you know, because we're doing all their things. Doesn't matter who thinks what, Allah knows your heart, Allah knows your attention. So there's nothing to fear of. And like I say, there is a level of iman in every person. When your iman is very low, you know, this is why you, oh, what this, I'm in the media, I'm a superstar, if I'm going to start talking about the God. You know, these days, you know how it is with the people. When you start talking about the God, they kind of push you away. You know what I mean? Because, you know, people healthy and strong, but as soon as when the airplane, and the airplane is about to crash, even atheists scream, God help me, God help me. So this is in everybody's heart. So like I say, this is all to make a dawah to the people so they understand who they are, they understand their religion. I have, you know, talked to some brothers get this conclusion, the shaitan, devil himself, was a fallen angel. This came from the Christianity. This is how misguided they are. So how can you talk to these people when they don't know nothing about this religion? They, you know, you tell them, give me translation of the Surah Al-Fatiha. They just pray the Surah Al-Fatiha, they don't even know what they say. You have to, this obligation in you as a Muslim, to learn about your religion, to represent your religion and understand what it is. It's not just doing what your parents teach you to do. You know, it's not like brushing the teeth and don't know why you're brushing your teeth for. You have to learn your religion. You have to know what you're doing. It's very important. Like I said, his brother's miscarriage, because in Russia there's different situation too. When you have a beard like this, they already consider you as a criminal, you know what I mean? Just by growing a beard. But this is hypocrisy, because every one of them have a little picture of the Jesus with a big beard. So if you have this picture and you say he's the greatest man, you guys worship him, and then you see the person with the beard like him, dressed just look like him, live the lifestyle just like him, you say he's a dirty, he's a terrorist. Doesn't make sense to me, so.
Let's talk about Ali. Let's talk a little bit about the responsibility. You mentioned that the more you learned your deen, your religion, submission to the will of the Creator, Allah, Islam, and you started to implement it, you actually, your dream was to be a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And you gave that up. And you mentioned something, an Arabic word, that it was something that was haram. This is prohibited. If this is something now that we see a lot of what people perceive as violence there, and people try to equate Muslims as being violent, this is not even, you know, and many people, they leave off, like you have, fighting like you did in general because of your religion. That's profound. You left it because your religion prohibits you from hitting another human being, an animal, let alone a human being, you know, doing any harm to him, right? So now this is something that kind of goes opposite to what's currently known. But let's say, talk to me about that. What was it that you finally, okay, because you struggled with this for years, you know? Talk to me about this point.
When you do something all your life and there's all you know, like today, an example, you have a cell phone, right? Trying to take the cell phone away. It's like you have no hands. So I learned this, and this is all I did in my life, you know, and just, this just, you have to give up on this. This is very difficult, especially for the people who is in a high level and superstars who cannot even walk away in the street without getting an autograph. And so this was difficult for me, but guess what? When you learn about the Islam, the Allah open your heart, and you understand, if you're a believer, when you see the red light, and you know if you're gonna drive through this red light, you're gonna get a ticket. So why you think if Allah tell you something, this is haram, it's forbidden for you, and you don't do this, you think you're not gonna get punished? So why is that? It's how can you consider yourself as a believer if you don't do what Allah tell you to do? This is all the reason, and you say you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These days, you know, when you tell the people this is a sunnah, you have to do the sunnah, grow your beard, this, and people, oh, this sunnah, I don't have to do it. How you don't have to do when the Allah in the Quran says, who do not listen my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he don't follow me. He sent us as a guidance. He give us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we can follow completely everything he taught us and teach us, you know. But MMA fighters, most of them, this is very good brothers, you know, they follow on everything. But like I say, there's different countries, different rules. Like an example, in America, fighters, they want to get famous, because they want to get money, because they want to get women, whatever it is, you know. My people, because they don't have no food on the table, because they want to feed their family, this is why they have to do it. This is a different, you know, it's not because they want to be famous and round. They don't need all that. They need to have money to take care of their mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, to give them education like any other people, to take care of their wives and stuff like this. Because there's no other income in these countries. It's very difficult to run the business or do stuff like that. This is why they have to deal with it. But most of them is very religious brothers and very good brothers who understand that. They just want to get the money and go out.
So let's talk for a few about the people that, okay, they're not at this moment going to leave. And let's say, okay, you want to, now you've gotten that spotlight, the fame, you've gotten that position, you've gotten the belt. Let's say like our dear brother, our beloved brother Khabib, right? Now, what are you going to do with that? You know that Allah, the Almighty, He don't care about the UFC belt. Amen. He don't care about, you know, the dunya. He don't care what how many championships you got. But what are you going to do now to help share the message, to be the best example that you can be, especially when you have the whole world literally fighting against Islam? What are you going to do? So what advice do you have, like, for people like Khabib? Now you have the responsibility to not join in with the Conor McGregors, you know what I mean? And
yo!
get into the gangster things. No, but to be the best example that you can be, so people can now, and now, you know, they wear the Reebok, you know what I mean, sponsorship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now who's our sponsor? Are you brave enough, courageous enough to connect everything that we do now? What do you do? What's he going to do? Now they see you praying. Hey, I'm taking a time out to thank my creator. You know what I mean? Connect everything back and remind people. It's not our job to convert anybody, but to remind, to wake up what's in the human being, in the fitra, that you have a creator, you have a purpose. So what advice that we can like wake up and motivate many of these brothers out there who are doing it and they don't have any plan on leaving it anytime soon, but at least to go ahead and do the dawah.
Habib, in the first place, he's a very good role model for young people. He grew up as a very good person. He's very religious. If you see him every fight, he always greeting the Allah. He say Allah is number one.
First of all, I want to say Alhamdulillah. You know, Allah always have better plan than we have. And tomorrow God have plan. Inshallah, doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm going to go keep forward, keep going and make history, inshallah. Thank you so much.
He's who give me everything, and this nothing come from me, this everything come from Allah. And he always say Alhamdulillah, he say Allahu Akbar, and he never shame and he never put his head down. He always representing, always proud to be a Muslim. When a lot of other people putting their head down and stuff like this, but a person in his position, when he knows if he gonna talk this way, a lot of people gonna turn away, the fans and all this media and stuff, he don't care, because he representing his religion. He's a good brother. Inshallah, he accomplished everything in the sport with Kenny Madden. He became a UFC world champion. You know, inshallah, Allah will guide him. And I'm pretty sure, you know, he already do a lot of good stuff what people don't do. He helps a lot of people. He helps a lot. He do a lot of stuff for a lot of brothers. You know, he's a very, very good person. Inshallah, Allah will gonna guide him. And he's gonna be living this stuff, and he's gonna use this power, you know, the media power, the all this, like a bunch of followers and people. He's gonna make a dawah, inshallah, you know, and Allah will, and he's gonna bring a lot of people to the straight path. And you know, a lot of non-Muslims following him and look his lifestyle, you know, they hear these words, they hear how he talk, the way he treat the people, the way he act, they became interesting in Islam too. So this kind of dawah like Muhammad Ali did in his days, back in the days, he did a lot of good stuff. Even they trying to put the star with his name on the floor in Hollywood, and I know they put this on the wall because he said, I don't want this because this name of my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he did a lot of good for the community, you know. So inshallah, all these brothers who is looking over there, and the fighter brothers, you know, they're gonna open their hearts and they're gonna understand, you know, this dunya is doesn't mean nothing. It's actually prison for the believer, you know. And inshallah, they're gonna open their hearts, learn about the Islam, and they're gonna use that, you know, use that and expose and open up the human's eyes to the religion of Islam, to understand the roots and the meaning of the real Islam, inshallah.
Speaking of Dawah and Muhammad Ali, we've all seen some of the videos, have you seen, where people are asking Muhammad Ali what he's gonna do, you know, with his life, the remainder when he retires, yeah. And then he brilliantly, yeah, you know, he goes into the amount of time that's left in this world.
What am I going to do in the next 16 years? What's the best thing I can do? Get ready to meet God. Owning real estate, going in business, teaching boxers, that won't get me to heaven. God is watching me. God don't praise me because I beat Joe Frazier. God don't care nothing about England or America as far as your wealth is all his. He wants to know, how do we treat each other? How do we help each other? So, I'm going to dedicate my life to using my name and popularity, helping charities, helping people, uniting people, bringing people bumming each other because of religious beliefs. We need somebody in the world to help make peace.
He goes into, you know, working for his afterlife. He sees those opportunities.
Because Allah has power over all things. If you believe in him, nothing, even George Foreman, will look like a baby.
All the way into the end. You saw he was always, you know, someone who was always...
God don't look at our colors. Minds, hearts have no color. God look at our minds and our actions and our deeds. So we have white Muslims, brown Muslims, red Muslims, yellow Muslims, all colors.
You know, when he was asked, who's your bodyguard? Did you see that one?
Do you have a bodyguard?
He hears the secrets of those on the quiet thoughts. He stops those whom, who's that? That's God, Allah. He's my bodyguard. He's your bodyguard.
Yeah, Allah is my body. Allah is always with me.
Yeah.
I remember one quote. He said, "I carry with me the matchbox all the time. And when my heart trying to slip to the scene, I put the fire on my palm and I feel this heat. And I say, I cannot even handle this. How I'm going to handle the hellfire? So this guy was brilliant. May Allah grant him the Jannah.
Ameen. And that's why he's still remembered to this day. So inshallah, we can motivate some of the brothers who are out there who are courageous enough to get in a cage and octagon, even though, like you said, they're going against what's pleasing to Allah. But now, inshallah, they have the courage to, you know, leave it off. But while they're there, to actually help, to share, to help, to go ahead and to raise some awareness.
Yeah, just thinking of this, brother, can you imagine if you encourage some people to learn Surah Al-Fatiha? You know what I mean? And read this every day. If you teach one person, can you imagine how many times it's going to count you as a barakah?
Yeah.
And how many people are going to become Muslims? And you was the one who Allah make you reason for this person to become a Muslim. In your position, subhanAllah, you can make so much good for this deen, you know, for this ummah, you know, for the Muslim brothers. Because there's so many people who is like you, role model for them right now. They're so proud. The Muslim became a UFC fighter. This is a huge in this dunya, you know what I mean? But like, subhanAllah, you can do so much good for that, you know. You just teach your brothers, you use this power. Like I talk to the brothers and I always tell them, make more dawah in your social media. You have so much followers.
Yeah, Allah made it easy. Look, you don't imagine if we had to go door to door, knocking on 1,000 doors to go ahead and share this message. But now, with you got millions of, that's another great example, through the social media. Now Allah, He made eight that you can acquire a lot of, you know, bad deeds or good deeds by sharing out here this simple message of motivation, encouragement for people to reflect and think. There was a fighter who out there, and it's amazing, he got out and he had a shirt, how I love Jesus, Muslims love Jesus. Did you ever see that it was circulating? Yeah. So little things like that that you can do. One, you mentioned the social media. Yeah. And Habib, you said he does this in the Russian, right?
He do always in Russian. He mentioned it. He always put the quotes from the Quran. He always say stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah. He always support the brothers all over the world, you know? You know, a lot of people these days don't talk about the Syria because they're scared to mention, but the kids dying over there every day. Mm-hmm. Why does not mention? We talk about the Conor McGregor destroying the bus, but we don't talk about the kids dying every day. Just yesterday, this was a chemical attack on Syria, and I was seeing, I was crying. I'm an adult, I'm a man, you know. I was crying because I was little kids. We don't have to be Muslims, we have to be human beings. When you see the kids dying, how can not this touch your heart? This breaking my heart, but humanity is dumb and people don't talk about this. That's not, you know, the little kids was dying from the chemical attack and nobody do nothing about that. But if little thing happens somewhere in Europe, everybody's talking about this. There's enough, man. Muslims have to talk. We have to speak up.
And especially people now that have the platforms. That's amazing what you just said, like, you know, Conor McGregor. And that's another thing, like, that you as a role model, right? Now this person is, you know, acting like, you know, pretend gangster and whatnot, like Burger King, Chicken King, whatever the king, right? And now people, we've already become like this middle finger culture. People don't respect their elders, there's no respect for authority. But now you're a role model. People are looking up to you. You can set good trends or bad trends. And now you have people like Conor McGregor obviously setting bad trends, you know what I mean? But now you as a Muslim MMA fighter who's out there, you have a big following, should be setting good trends and being a good example.
Exactly. And this was the Habib doing these days. And this was many brothers I know, Omar Ahmedov, Sultan Aliyev, Ghassan Umaladov, Rashid Magomedov, all the brothers who I don't mention, sorry, I love you all my brothers, they're all doing a great job, they all spread the word of Islam, you know what I mean? They fight, but at least they do their part. They put the little seeds in the heart of the people, and Allah will make it grow, you know, inshallah.
You're also, I had not too long ago, I've had our brother, he's from where my family's from, Mirsad Bektas.
And if Allah's with me, it ain't no way no man can win. No way.
Man, I feel like that's somebody I can definitely relate to. In a lot of ways. I was undefeated, I remember. Did every prayer, every day. Went to mosques at night. And then I remember before my last fight, too, I kind of got away from it. And I kind of questioned it sometimes, but I was like, no, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And just hearing him say that now, it's like, God, maybe just woke me up a little bit. Uh-huh. I do think differently now about a lot of things.
Right? People like him also, inshallah, you know, having, he's an up-and-coming MMA. You trained with him, right? Yeah, you know him very well?
Yes. He's going to be a future champ. He's a very tough guy, mashallah, but subhanallah, he's a very good brother. You see, he get attached too. He see the brothers around him, he see us praying. He get attached, man. Now, I see him in the masjid more than myself.
Mashallah. You know? I'm so happy to hear that. And so brothers like him, you know, brother, he's now training with another Muslim,
right? Yeah, in Canada, he trained Zahar. I forgot.
Zahabi, yeah.
Yeah, so he's, subhanAllah, he's a good Muslim brother too, and there's a lot of Muslims over there, you know, and they get close, you know, brothers getting close to each other, you know. We should have to be an example for each other.
And I often say, because, you know, when I talk about being unapologetically Muslim, it's no, you know, we respect people of all religions, all faiths, we're all brothers and sisters in humanity, but now there's no doubt that Muslims, there's a rise, it's a $250,000 industry bashing Islam, fighting against Muslim, Islamophobia is on a rise, and that's why I say we need to step up and be unapologetically Muslim, so we're approachable, you can get to know us and see that Muslims aren't, you know, terrorists, Muslims aren't your boogeyman coming to get you. We're people just like you who want to live in peace with our neighbors, and we're open for you to ask questions, get to know us, connect with us, make the human connection, because you have a lot of misconceptions and people who are out there distorting the image of Islam and people who are trying to create fear of Muslims. So now the people who are out there, like the Mirsad Bektic and the Khabib and other fighters, King Mo and all these guys, changes from Mo to Muhammad, be good examples and set a good example for others to follow. Not just, it's easy to be, you know, falling in line with the Conor McGregors, but to be someone like Muhammad Ali, the Malcolm X's, people who stood up for certain justice and civil rights, and, you know, like you said, talk about real issues like Syria, Gaza, people who are dying, you know what I mean, while we're over here, you know, enjoying.
Yeah, we have to talk about this too. We have to, you know, stand up and talk for ourselves too. Like, you need to be stop being scared, you know, shame, you know, like growing your beard because you're going to look some type of different or stuff like this. No, you're a Muslim, you have to represent, you have to be proud. And when you're going to expose this religion to the other people, they're not going to be feared too, because all they see in the media, they're scared. But when you show yourself, they're going to open up and they're going to understand the real Islam and the truth about this religion. You know, I was punching people for a living. I was, you know, but who stopped me from doing that? The Islam, the deen, you know, the religion of Islam stopped me, because it's forbidden in my religion. I cannot hurt another human being. The God says in the Quran, if you kill one innocent person, it's like you kill all the humanity. Nobody say this quote over there. Yeah. But that's how it is.
I want to thank you, brother. Thank you for being with us here on the Dean Show. This is our brother Ali from Dagestan.
Ossetia. This is a small country.
Ossetia and all the brothers tuning in. And if you haven't subscribe already. Tune in every week to the Dean Show. And the message is simple. Worship the creator, not the creation. He sent guidance over time, messengers out of his love, and it's always been the same message. One God, worship him alone, not his creation. Do good deeds and prepare for Jannah, paradise. Avoid the hellfire. It's there in the Quran, tamper-free, tamper-proof. A simple, believable message. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Many people in your part of the world, Dagestan and other places in Russia, they've been asking me, say, what's up with Khabib? Where's he at? He's been on, like I said, every other show except the Dean Show. Maybe he don't understand my English. Keep it humble. Tell him, how do you say it in your language so we can make sure he got the message.
Assalamu alaikum, brat Khabib. Вот тебя приглашают на шоу. Это наш брат. У него большое шоу, религиозное шоу по поводу религии. Он приглашает очень много артистов и всех, кто принял ислам. И они хотят пригласить тебя тоже, потому что они уважают и любят тебя. Иншаллах, сможешь прийти и поговорить с ними.
You heard it. Hope Ali got you the message. We hope to see you soon, brother. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.